going.
Yeah, so I think when vegans, like, they must go to the board of vegans and, like, declare themselves and get a free food processor, because anytime I try to make a vegan recipe, inevitably you have to use a food processor at some point.
Well, in Scott Pilgrim, they have a school and they get their powers and they have the vegan police and it all gets, like, taken away if you're not careful.
Ah.
So maybe you lost your vegan powers.
Well, I'm not vegan ever, so I've never had vegan powers.
Yeah, that's why.
Yeah. Hello! Welcome to BC is Creepy.
I'm Topher Graham.
I'm Ariel Hansen.
And today, we're going to talk about something gross.
Oh, disgusting. Wonderful. Good thing we already ate.
Yeah. Have you ever been sick?
Well, yeah.
Like, really sick?
Like food poisoning? Because I've had that.
Yeah. When I was really young, mm-hmm. I actually got mono.
Ooh, who were you kissing on?
I know, right? That's what everybody says. I have no idea. I was in grade one.
Oh.
But maybe I was, like, really popular.
You don't remember if you were popular or not in grade one?
Yeah, I was pretty popular.
Yeah?
I was pretty popular. And,
got kissed a lot?
Yeah. Well, anyways, today we're going to talk about something sickness.
Mmm.
People being really, really sick.
So maybe we should call today's episode BC is Gross?
BC is sickly. BC is dying. Well, we're okay. Anyways, I decided to do this episode after the measles outbreak that happened at Skookum.
Oh, man.
And we touched on it a little bit with Dead Man's Island, but I needed to circle back to it because this might be, like, one of the craziest things that's ever happened to BC.
Okay, and what is it?
Smallpox.
Yeah.
So prior to contact with Europeans, the area that we live in, British Columbia, had one of the densest and most linguistically diverse populations within Canada.
Ah.
So, like, a third of the population of all of Canada was, like, here on the coast in this beautiful thing.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, pre-contact population estimates range from, like, 200,000 to over a million.
Whoa!
And we're just talking Indigenous people.
Yeah.
Right now, Indigenous population, couldn't tell you.
Yeah.
But in 1782, smallpox led a mass invisible genocide, decimating everybody. Well, not... Okay. But the Indigenous populations had no immunity to smallpox, and European contact came.
Well, don't Europeans have some immunity from, like, having animals in their houses with them?
Yeah, they...
Whereas they didn't really have farm animals as much.
Europeans got decimated by smallpox, like, over and over and over again.
Yeah. Until
they eventually gained an immunity. The smallpox has been around for, like, thousands of years.
Well, yeah.
10 years after smallpox and came in and wiped out a lot of people, George Vancouver entered the lush lands of the West Coast. So Vancouver, you know, that's what our city was named after.
Yeah.
This explorer.
Well, so was Fort Vancouver, and then the Americans and their manifest destiny decided they wanted it, so Vancouver moved further north.
Yeah. I guess he wrote this in kind of like Washington area. But yeah, it still applies here.
Oh, yeah. Well, we've got more in common, at least ecologically, with Washington and Oregon and the rest of our own country, so...
Even Alberta, eh?
Oh! So different. We just got back from Alberta. It's so flat. There's not a lot of trees. And it's flat.
It's different. It's different.
Definitely different. It almost made me feel claustrophobic in a way.
Because of endless prairies, you can't get away.
yeah, you can't get away, and it's like having the water nearby, like, I don't know, it feels more freeing, more liberating than just
the mountain,
all these highways, and you're just these fields that look the same.
The mounted police used to have nightmares. They would just wander forever, never be able to find civilization again.
I can understand those nightmares now.
Yeah. So I want you to imagine a different nightmare. Close your eyes and imagine the lush lands of BC.
Aww.
Trees, mountains, grass, and
rainforest.
The skull, limbs, ribs, and backbones, or some other vestiges of the human body, were found in many places, promiscuously scattered about the beach in great numbers. They can't see your face.
I know. Well, you told me to close my eyes.
Yeah.
So I've got my eyes closed, and that would be quite the sight.
We're talking beaches scattered with dead bodies, mass graves, because the epidemic was overwhelmingly overbearing.
So did this epidemic happen, like, how did it get to this area? The smallpox?
The American Revolutionary War.
Oh, okay.
It actually, like, crossed over kind of in Quebec, and but also again in the prairies, and then
Kept moving west. Mm.
The close confines of the winter homes provided ideal footing for the virus to devastate entire communities. So they were, like, closely knit together, and they're breathing, and, you know, somebody, the whole village would get wiped out, and one survivor would, like, run away, and he'd get to the next village, and he would infect all of them. Because it takes, like, 12 days for the smallpox symptoms to take hold.
Mm.
So you don't know you have it until 12 days later, and you're already in a community infecting everybody around you. People died at such a rate that it became impossible to bury the dead, according to the traditions. So they had mass burials, and eventually those became unmanageable. So they had to just leave bodies behind. And, yeah, people were spreading it by moving, by the survivors going to the next community. So I have a quote from a man identified as Old Pierre, a member of what is now the Katsi First Nation in Pitt Meadows.
Mm-hmm.
He says, "News reached them from the east that a great sickness was traveling over the land, a sickness that no medicine could cure, and no person escaped."
Ooh.
So that took hold, and the explorers entered and saw all of these great, well, villages that were empty and bones lying everywhere and body parts and beaches covered, and the people that were left, like, small groups of traumatized and disfigured people from the smallpox.
What does smallpox do?
The initial symptoms of the disease include fever and vomiting.
Okay.
And then they get sores in the mouth and giant skin rashes. Over a number of days, the skin rash turn into fluid-filled bumps.
Ooh.
With a dent in the center.
Ooh.
And then they scab over and they fall off and they leave scars.
Ooh.
If you survive that long.
Yeah.
Because you're feverish, you're vomiting, you're losing, like, all of your nourishment, you're covered in disfiguring scars, and even if you survived, you were wild, like, easy prey for wild animals at the time. So, like, wolves, coyotes, lynx.
On Vancouver Island, cougars.
It's
apparently, like, one of the most densely populated areas with cougars in, like, North America.
Rawr.
I now realize why my childhood makes more sense, because it felt like at least once a year there'd be a warning, keep your children and your pets inside, there's a cougar in the area, and I didn't live in a rural area.
Yeah, no. So if you can imagine being greatly sick and outside, and easy prey.
Yeah. Also a lot of black bears. on the island.
Yeah, we would have had grizzly bears in Alberta.
I think there's, well, obviously there's grizzly bears in BC, but yeah. Never seen those in person, but seen a lot of black bears.
Yeah. So, after George Vancouver came and, you know, they rebuilt, although they were much different people now. Mm-hmm. A lot of their traditions, a lot of traditions were lost because just massive amounts of people died.
Well, especially, I'm guessing the elders of their communities would not be likely to survive.
Yeah, and it's oral traditions too, right?
Yeah.
But there were still survivors. They rebuilt, you know, George Vancouver established the colony, which became Hudson's Bay controlled area.
Yeah.
Which eventually became Canada.
Well, first, oh, I know this history.
No, we're not even done yet.
Okay.
But in 1862, Canada and the Fraser Valley had a gold rush.
Yeah.
Which you might remember from my last episode.
Yeah.
Where we had the secret cursed gold cavern. Well, now we have an even bigger curse. Because a ship arrives in Victoria from San Francisco carrying a single infected and unaware passenger.
Ooh.
So the trip took like 4 days.
Yeah.
And it takes 12 days to show symptoms.
Oh boy.
And so...
it's the measles outbreak all over again, except way worse.
Yeah. So I want to preface this by saying that they did have the vaccine. And there were small outbreaks that the Hudson's Bay Company would deal with forced quarantines.
Okay.
So at the time, quarantine would be like, you'd take the person, you'd lock them up, you put the yellow flag on the door, and...
I remember that from the Dead Man's Island episode.
Yeah. And they would come in the cart, and they'd pick them up, and they'd carry them off, and they'd put them...
Elsewhere.
Away from healthy people.
To die.
So the Hudson's Bay Company had actually been fairly successful at keeping outbreaks controlled because they had vaccines and they did the quarantines. But this was 1862 and the country was changing. The Hudson's Bay Company had been leading the government, but now they were moving over to elected officials.
Ah.
So there was a little, like, anti-Hudson's Bay sentiment.
Understandable. I mean, being ruled by a corporation, that wouldn't be fun.
So it led to complications. And I have a quote from the Daily British Colonist, March 27th, 1862. So, it's a quote. There's a word. It's not...
it's a word we don't use anymore, I'm guessing.
We don't use this anymore, and I don't appreciate using it, but in historical context...
Okay, I'm not going to bug you this time.
Okay. The disease we fear will make sad havoc among the Indians unless stringent sanitary measures are adopted. But the authorities did not approve the quarantine and approved a smallpox hospital only for those who voluntarily wished to make use of it.
Ugh.
So, if you were sick... oh, I'm sick. I'd better go to the hospital and segregate myself from everybody else.
How many people actually did that?
Would you do that? This is like giving up your life.
Yeah.
And everything around you and for the good of the rest of the world.
But it's especially like they might not necessarily think that, at least at first, they might not be like, I have smallpox. They might be like, oh, it's fine. It's fine. I just have a fever. It's fine. It's fine.
It's fine. I'm gonna be fine.
Yeah.
It's food poisoning.
Yeah, I'm fine.
People resented the forced quarantines. They restricted liberty. And they opted for these crazy hospitals where you would volunteer yourself. And that's not good.
I mean, it's sort of like how people are opting out of vaccines nowadays. And it's like...
yeah. That's why we have a measles outbreak.
Yeah.
In 2018.
Yep.
Measles. We killed it. And it's back.
And it also turns out that the vaccines that at least in BC for my age, they weren't done right.
Yeah.
So I got my first one days before I was technically supposed to. And then the second round of vaccines I got, I think it didn't have measles in it. So I never actually got a booster for measles because they thought, oh, one is enough.
Gross.
Yeah, so I actually need to go to the public health and get the...
You need to get a measles vaccine.
I keep forgetting, though.
And let me tell you, well, you know why you need a measles vaccine.
Oh, yeah, no, I am very pro-vaccines.
Yeah, I know from your body horror films that you are very aware of your own body. So James Douglas of the Hudson's Bay Company, he was a...
Sir James Douglas.
He was a governor.
Yep, so actually, this is where I know a little bit of history. So he was the governor of Vancouver Island, which was its own separate colony from British Columbia. And then the Queen made him also the governor of British Columbia. So he was governor of two colonies at the same time. And that's why they became one, was because they were like, eh, it's the same dude, let's just make it one colony.
Yeah, that guy was cool.
He was also mixed race.
That makes a lot of sense. He was urging for immediate measures to be put in place, and even though he was met with resistance, he was actually really, really good about this. But people were spreading rumors that the Hudson's Bay Company was giving infected blankets with smallpox. And yeah, I know. When I was talking about this to friends, people were like, you know about the blankets, right? And I was like, well, I found one source, but it's not really reliable. The article is pretty clickbaity. But James Douglas and the Hudson's Bay Company actually extended its stocks to First Nations communities and vaccinated as many as they could. So that was actually really helpful.
That sounds like the least shitty thing that colonizers have done so far in our podcast.
Yeah. So it makes sense that he was mixed race and really
wanted... Well, he was mixed race, but I think he was part black.
Oh, still, he wanted to help people. So he actually helped curb the outbreak in the southern communities. But the northern communities were decimated.
Mm.
Again, you could see corpses stacked along beaches, bloated bodies floating in canoes, huts Whoa. Filled with people and burnt down. The second epidemic wiped out 60 to 70% of the population. So again, it took BC down a ton.
Wow. People can't see my eyebrows right now. But
she's shocked.
Yeah.
It's shocking. It is a second, invisible genocide. The mass deaths tore irreparable holes in the cultural fabric of societies and oral traditions and histories, again, of entire peoples. These are the survivors of the first outbreak that, rebuilt and made new families. And again, wiped out, twice.
And, it wasn't even on purpose.
No, not on purpose. This was an accident. This was a person coming from San Francisco, didn't even know he was sick.
Yeah.
And wiped out over 2/3 of the population.
Wow.
So if you can imagine what BC looks like now, settlers began to fill these old communities and empty spaces that were left behind.
Well, I mean, it would be so easy if there's no one there.
Yeah.
And there's already a shelter built.
And a lot of natural resources.
Yeah.
And we had the railways that were starting to be built. So people were coming in. They were also looking for gold.
Mm-hmm.
And it created a whole new British Columbia.
Wow. I guess if so much of the population disappeared, then it makes sense why there aren't as many treaties here.
That's right.
Because it was oh, there's just no one here anymore.
Like a wasteland.
Except lush.
A lush wasteland.
That's so weird. That's crazy.
Terrifying, right?
Yeah.
That could happen again.
Yeah, that's if extraterrestrials ever did make contact, who knows what would happen.
Even still, with these mass populist movements of anti-vaccination.
Oh, yeah.
We could literally just tear our hole in our communities again.
Yeah. Well, it's gonna sort of be a division in society of those who believe in science.
Yeah.
And those who don't. And then what's gonna suck is there are people who, for health reasons, can't get vaccinated, and herd immunity is the only thing keeping them safe, and there's no more herd immunity. So
no.
The anti-vaxxers are hurting all of them.
People are dying.
All because one jerk made up results that no one could replicate.
I also want to go on record but as saying that autism is a genetic disorder.
Yes.
So vaccines can't cause autism.
Yeah.
But with that, I have a couple references. I actually had a really good National Post article about just the first epidemic.
Yeah.
Which really should be like part of Canadian lore. Like this should be the Great Fear.
Like I learned a fair bit about BC history in school and stuff. Never learned about this.
No. We had like lush cultural heritages here. More languages and traditions than anywhere else in the country. And
first they all died from disease and then whoever was left got sent to residential schools. That's horrible.
Yeah. So I've also got a blog, ictinc.ca. historylink.org. Vancouver is awesome. Actually had like a little video.
Really?
Pretty cute.
Aww.
That was like 6 minutes. Haida Gwaii history.blogspot.com. They're pretty north, so they got hit pretty hard. And Wikipedia, just so I could get the details of smallpox and like little tidbits about
what it looks like.
Yeah, around the world. Not so much about BC's history of smallpox, but a general history of smallpox.
Yeah. Well, that was educational.
Yeah. I really, you know, we do a lot of murders. We do a lot of hauntings. I wanted to do something different this time.
Yeah. And
I got to learn, like, something really new about our province.
Yeah. Oh.
You look like you're 60 to 70% wiped out, too.
Yeah, no, that's
horrifying.
It's intense, man. It's just so much stuff I didn't know.
This podcast has actually gotten me to like do a lot of research and learn a lot of things that they never would have touched on in school and never became like a part of the cultural fabric, but seems really important.
Yeah. Well, so we're back from Edmonton. That means if you're listening, well,
it's Halloween season. Yeah,
this is our first episode of the spooky season to be recorded in the spooky season.
Yeah, you'll have heard a couple of episodes before this one, but we're also going to be doing a couple of screenings around
town and world. Yeah. So while we're recording this, we're playing at Monsters of Film in Sweden as well as at the Women in Horror Film Festival in Georgia, but those will be long over by the time this airs.
But you might be able to catch us at the East Van Showcase.
Yeah, Nepenthes will be playing there as well as Time Heals No Wounds. You can catch us at the...
Also Parlor Tricks is at
East Parlor Van Tricks Showcase. Oh, Parlor Tricks is too?
Yes.
Oh, man. We're just sweeping it.
Yeah.
As well... The New West Film Fest will be playing The Man in the Rabbit Mask, which it's going to be on the same day as the East Van Showcase, just earlier in the day at 3 p.m., so you can double up.
Nice. And it's on a SkyTrain, too, so you can just hop the New West SkyTrain to the Rio.
That's what I'll be doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then we will also be playing at the Whistler Heavy Hitting Horror Fest.
And it's already sold out, so you can't go.
Unless you already have tickets.
Yeah.
Or you, like, infect someone 12 days ahead of time with smallpox and take their ticket. I'm not condoning that, though.
A really shitty thing to do.
Yeah, that is not something you do to your friend.
No.
Even, like, an enemy.
It is
going to
be a really fun party.
Yeah. And then same day, we're also going to be playing in San Francisco at the Weird Film Fest.
San Francisco.
Yeah, that's where you're
at. Yeah, I know.
Well, oh, yeah.
Careful.
Oh.
Don't let them come up by boat.
Oh. I did not realize that tied into the episode until after. I thought you were just like, oh, San Francisco's cool.
It was.
It is.
It is.
Oh, wow. now we have our Patreon, as you may already have heard. We actually just released a little mini-sode for all of our patrons. So that's a sampling of the kind of content you'll get if you become a patron of us, which you look for bad cookie pictures, not BC is creepy, because the Patreon supports not just this podcast, but also our filmmaking endeavors.
And everything that we do.
Yes.
So if you can, our YouTube content, our short films.
VR films.
VR films.
Everything. And like even just a dollar a month helps.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You'll get a shout out on the podcast as well as other cool stuff.
And access to exclusive content and us.
Yeah, because we've got a Discord just for patrons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you want to find us, we're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest.
Yep. Also, if you want other people to listen to this podcast, then you could give us a rating and review that is positive. If you don't like us, then why are you still listening to our podcast?
Yeah.
But yeah, rating and review on like iTunes, Spotify, all that kind of stuff is really going to help us push to new listeners and open up to new audiences.
Excellent.
And lastly, if you've got any topic suggestions or just want to, I don't know, maybe we got a fact wrong and you want to let us know, you can catch us at badcookiepictures@gmail.com for topic suggestions and the ilk.
Email us. We love to have that kind of interaction with our fans.
Yeah, let us know you're out there.
All right.
Okay.
As always,
stay creepy.